Hey, welcome back, golf enthusiasts, to the Playing Through Golf podcast. My name is William Starsvich. I'm joined with
Chris Lopez,
Travis White.
You know, it's early December here in the greater Midwest, as we're here at the crossroads in Mercer County.
The greater Midwest. It's cold.
It's cold.
It is cold.
It was, what, 10 degrees this morning?
Oh, you big sissies.
No, it was
10 degrees when I got to work.
It's 68 degrees in here. We were just hitting golf balls, so that's not bad.
Yeah.
Our lives aren't too bad.
No, the studio is rocking.
It is rocking.
The studio is rocking.
Just had a kid in here practicing who got it out to 290 yards on one drive.
Yeah,
For a 130-pound kid?
Yeah, seriously, I wish I had a back like that. Not even in my youngest days could I hit like that.
Speaking of that, Travis, could you pull up the all-region golf
here?
While Travis is doing that, let's go over the PGA event this last week. Was the Hero Classic.
Right. Hero Challenge.
Hero Challenge.
Yep.
And Tiger, I don't want to say it's his event, but it's one that
he's the kind of the sponsor.
Golfer for.
Charity benefits from it, I think, or something like that.
Well, I don't want to say it was quite the finish, but there's some drama in it.
Absolutely, there was.
So Victor Hovland, who we've talked about quite a bit, he's one of the great young players. I think he's from Denmark, right?
Mm-hmm.
23, 24 years old. He actually won it. He shot a 65 or 66, I think, on the final day, 66. So he was 18 under, which won up on Scottie Scheffler. Sam Burns was second, and then tied third was Patrick Reed and Sam Burns. So
which is surprising because Sam Burns had one of the more horrible holes of
trying to hit up the hill.
Well, those guys were under par every day.
Mm-hmm.
But that 67, 66 is really kind of what set Hovland apart. But that's not really the story here.
No.
It's Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
Patrick Reed being Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
So, Chris, why don't you say a little bit about what...
Well, I was watching a little bit of it, and then all of a sudden Twitter blew up, and they were talking about how Hovland was on a roll, and Patrick was trying to make a run at him, and Patrick asked for a ruling on some shot that, I mean, everybody's like, why? And everybody was calling it gamesmanship. I mean, there wasn't a person that was in support of him for anything, but they were calling it gamesmanship, and if you're actually watching it, it's definitely gamesmanship. His demeanor was like, I'm just trying to slow this guy down because he's beating my ass right now. And I think that, I mean, they were...
It's foul.
It's foul. It's terrible.
So, basically, Patrick Reed has a front row seat to what Victor Hovland's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he can see Victor Hovland's just lighting it up.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, let's hit the brakes. Pretty much icing it would be the football equivalent to a field goal kicker out there.
Yeah.
And Patrick Reed doing that, if it was anybody else, we'd be like, okay, maybe he actually did need a ruling.
Right.
Or even, you know what, even if it is gamesmanship,
mm-hmm.
you could overlook it for somebody that doesn't have the history of a Patrick Reed.
Who's cheated.
Who's flat out cheated.
Who has cheated.
Right. There's that, but then there's always cameras around. You can go at the end of the round and be like, hey, man, you did this wrong. They've done it before.
Yeah.
They have, but they try not to do that. Because when that first happened, there was a person that called in.
Oh, yeah.
They report. I think it was Tiger Woods' ball placement. Mm-hmm. Or I know Mark O'Meara had a little bit with the ball placement where literally moved it, like, set his marker down,
mm-hmm.
went to replace it, and it, no more than a quarter inch difference.
Right.
Right.
But just visually where it looked like, okay, I set it down.
Right.
And and we're talking, this was probably 20 years ago, Chris, 15 years ago at least.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't have the high def that we have now.
No, but just the, there was no Twitter, there was no Facebook, none of that stuff was blowing up. But I just remember the backlash on that, and all I'm thinking about is, this asshole had nothing better to do than to watch it and then try to call a foul on Mark O'Meara.
Yeah, who is one of the nicer guys on the tour, yeah.
Now, when they don't allow that anymore, like a fan calling.
Right.
But for Patrick Reed to have been caught on camera the number of times that he has been for cheating.
Yeah, sand trap stuff.
The sand trap, what he did at Torrey Pines.
The
where
ball mark.
The ball mark that he actually used. The video, the ball lunged forward after it hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So he was trying to say it was an embedded ball so he would get a free drop.
Right.
So he definitely pushed his thumb down in there and left an imprint.
Yep.
Because it's not where there's no way that it fell there.
No.
It like can cause that.
No.
So just that, I don't know.
I don't like him.
I texted you guys, and I'm like, this guy's a dick.
I want to say the sliminess about him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like,
and the thing is that the sliminess doesn't just, it extends to his family.
His family doesn't like him.
Yeah, I mean, but his wife follows what he does, and she's...
Oh, of course she does.
She defends, you know, because, of course, she's getting paid.
Yeah, the Brinks truck is right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. His own, his extended family does not care for him because he has been caught at Georgia.
Yep.
I mean, he had to leave Georgia because the team was like, well, he's cheating.
Yeah, and he got caught clearing out the back of his lie with his club in a bunker. Mm-hmm. The thing that happened to Torrey Pines. I know there's one I'm missing that he improved his lie somewhere, and I can't remember exactly where it was. But
and it was caught on camera.
And it was caught on camera. Yeah.
But there was also other drama. Did you see that?
I did.
What do we got?
You know what I'm talking about?
Jordan Spieth and Hendrick Stenson.
There was that drama.
Oh, yes, where they played from the wrong tee.
That wasn't really drama.
No, but it was a two-stroke penalty, which...
I mean, Stenson was great about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very matter-of-fact, and he deadpanned,
they told him on Wednesday or Thursday, I want to say Wednesday, that they, Sunday, we're probably going to have the tees here instead of back all the way. And I think
I have the most problem with here is that most golf places you go, they have, like you go to Deer Run, you know, they put up special signs of what damn hole it is. Not that there's going to be any mix up of where the holes are at on that course.
Well, and every event I've ever been to that's a competition,
right?
There is only one set of tees out there.
Yeah.
Why is there more sets of tees available?
Well, because
they
said it was moving to one's going one direction, one's going to another direction.
Yeah. Oh, so they played
the tee box that was belonging to a
different hole. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were playing the.
That makes a little more sense.
They teed off from the 17th to hit to 9 fairways.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah.
Because I was like, why is there two sets of tees on that hole? That would just add to the confusion.
I'm just wondering where the signage was. I guess. I mean, you'd say, oh, yeah, you're a golfer, you should know better. But you know what? When you're in the throes of competition, you're not really...
No, you're going to the next tee box, and this is the direction I'm going.
Yeah, right. And this is the fairway, and I'm looking at it on my book and what have you. Then we had the other drama, Colin Morikawa, who was after day two, kicking the hell out of everybody.
Yep.
And then went like, I don't know how many double bogeys he had.
He got engaged last week.
Well, he got married. He wasn't engaged. He got married, I thought.
Oh, I thought he got engaged.
No, I think he got married.
Well, he started, he was 14 under to finish.
Mm-hmm.
He went 68, 66, 64, 76. Oof. Now, I would love to shoot a 76 at
the Hero. Well, yeah, shit, I'd take a 79 at this point.
But, he went 4 over on that final day.
Right.
That's so, tough.
And I think they said he had like 4 double bogeys. In that stretch. And he kind of just lost his concentration.
That sounds like me.
Oh, we could talk about last Sunday and the lack of concentration.
I can't shoot in the 70s, though.
So, one of the things...
Well, you shot in the 70s, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was...
That was for 9 holes.
That was bouncing back and forth from bay to bay. Trying to figure my shit out.
Well, I'll just say that your club face is still clean. We'll just leave it that way. But the hosel may need some cleaning.
Yeah,
it does.
You might need some new shafts, too. I don't know.
So Hendrick Stenson, which I've told you guys before, that when I was at the U.S. Open, Torrey Pines in 2009, that I watched all the big names hitting at the range, getting warmed up. And Hendrick Stenson, the contact that he makes, the sound of coming off of his club, different than everybody.
Yeah.
Different than Phil, different than Tiger, different than all of them. It's just such a pure sound.
It's a pure sound.
He's so crazy to even think that dude would ever not shoot below par.
Right.
Which, for the tournament, he shot a 72, 75, 70, and a 72 with the two-stroke penalty on the final day, which he would have been one under for the final day.
Right.
Where Jordan Spieth, on the other hand, he finished the tournament at plus 6.
Oof.
So he... 1 under on day 1, even, and then he was 3 over on day 3, and 4 over on
just
the
had
final
a kid
day.
Though.
Just had a kid.
Just had a kid.
The golden child is born.
Yeah.
But then Ricky has to one up him and have a kid with the full mustache. Did you guys see that meme?
Dude.
I like it.
It's funny we bring up Ricky because I think this year, if anything, he's going to be entertaining. Because some of the things he's posting on Instagram and some of the things he's posting other places, They're very tongue-in-cheek.
I think he is the PGA's version of Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They look like each other, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And he's fun. Like, he's, you know, yeah. I'm rooting for him pretty hardcore.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll always root for Ricky.
DeChambeau.
Nobody cares.
He was, let's just,
move on.
We know that Victor Hovland.
And we can't go without saying that every day that that tournament was played, who was on the practice range?
Every day. And really, was the bigger news, don't
I
you think,
so.
Than all this
they
other stuff?
Oh, he came out in his Sunday red.
I know.
For the love of God.
I know.
And the whole world just blows up. I mean, the first video they posted of him hitting a golf ball, I mean, they said it had, I mean, a million hits in less than an hour.
Oh, I bet.
You know,
yeah, because we were here when I saw
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I sent it to you guys.
Yeah, probably 20,000 of them are me.
Yeah.
Every time I saw it, I liked it.
Oh,
every
yeah,
single
you
time.
Did. Seriously.
Well, and with that news of him out there actually hitting balls and looking pretty good,
mm-hmm.
now his own admission was the power's not there.
Right.
The ball striking
it looked like he was
crisp.
Hitting the ball. Just better than any of us. I mean,
yeah. Oh, clearly.
Yeah.
So clearly.
Yeah. Clearly.
And he's just talking about how he's not going to have the power on the driver, which still
outdrive me.
I'm guaranteeing he's still hitting a 280, 290.
Oh, yeah.
It just these other guys now that are out there hitting a 310 or plus.
He's also right. He's gone to Corey Pavin distances.
Well, I don't know if he's gone that short yet.
He said in his interview he can't hear it land yet, so he's okay.
Yeah. That's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a great line. Yep.
That is good. Well, with that said, you know, what do we got coming up?
We got the father-son.
We got the father-son. I think this weekend is actually the QBC, right, in
yep.
Naples.
Mm-hmm.
Which I want to say that Matt Kuchar and his partner won that last year.
Right.
Hunter?
You know, the funny thing is you'd think if Tiger really wanted to just, like he said, you know, kind of hit and giggle it. I mean, it's those kinds of things that he probably could pair with. I mean, if all of a sudden Koepka just calls him and says, hey, you want to play in this real quick? You know, and takes Tiger with him.
That
would blow up.
That'd be crazy.
I think it would be crazy.
I cannot wait for the father-son.
Yeah.
And I, you know, reading about it, it's less about Tiger
mm-hmm.
as his, don't take this the wrong way, grooming his son to
mm-hmm.
be a competitive golfer. Which
right.
Because have you heard anything about Charlie since last year?
That they showed, well, when Tiger was first starting to walk around without the crutches, he was at a warm-up session for Charlie in a junior event and, you know, was watching over him like a proud, doting
yep.
father, you know. But he's obviously well involved into his son's move here, and he's going to be very calculating about what
exactly.
He did, you know, be very calculating about how he's going to bring him into this.
It's going to be, I don't think he's doing the same approach as his father,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's enough of the same approach.
Right.
Now his father really put him out there in the limelight from work
right.
go.
Right.
For Tiger. So Tiger, I think, has reeled that back in, but mm-hmm. still exposing him just enough. And I think this is another one part of his plan.
Right.
Hey, this isn't going to be about, you know, Charlie again, because it's going to be people focusing on me coming back after my
yep.
injury
right.
until we get on the course. And then it is about Charlie, and
right.
I can shield him there.
Right.
And I think it's a perfect move.
Well, and you're not hearing about Charlie actually winning the tournaments that he's entering.
Yep.
I think if he were, then they'd be making bigger news of it. I think that Tiger is not has expectations of him to just go compete
yep.
at this point.
Yeah, no, he's not going to say he's going to be a world beater.
Right.
You know, when his niece came out, there was a ton of hoopla about her,
mm-hmm.
and she wasn't even really that involved with Tiger.
Right.
You know, niece, yes,
mm-hmm.
but I think it was half
yeah,
brother's
it's a half
daughter
brother
or something like that.
Yeah.
And Cheyenne played great, and mm-hmm. I believe she was actually a Wake Forest golfer. I know we were
yeah,
talking about Wake Forest this
mm-hmm.
last week.
Mm-hmm.
And she made some noise on the LPGA for a little bit, like
mm-hmm.
you know, not a world beater, but very good golfer.
Yeah, I mean she's competent and she's
mm-hmm.
she knows. And what is she doing some broadcasting
yep,
now too?
Now she's
yeah,
doing broadcasting.
Yeah, she's doing some broadcasting. But I mean, that could have been a lesson too to Tiger too, is that anybody with the Woods name
is going to be put into
a different world and
under the microscope.
Yep. So I mean, it'll be interesting to see because I'm not sure what his older daughter is into, but I'm sure that there'll be. He'll be shielding her, or mom is at least shielding her from that portion of the life.
Yeah.
You know, because of who she is.
Yeah, I don't really know what she's doing athletically, and honestly,
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's
if she doesn't do anything athletically, good for her.
Yeah, good right. for her. Yeah, good for her.
Like, she would have a full-time job just trying to spend dad's money at this point.
I mean, yeah, and there's plenty of it.
And you go to it.
There's plenty of it.
Yep. Speaking of spending money, did you hear what he said about building this house? Did you hear that comment?
No.
He goes, I knew I built a big house, but when I got coaches, I really built a big house.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a great one.
That is awesome. That's solid.
Yep.
So we have been able to play a couple rounds indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, you want to talk about the state of your game right now?
I hit it pretty good before.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
The other day, not so much. I cut a golf ball in half, probably.
Yeah, you did. You bladed that thing pretty centered.
You were chopping wood, dude.
Well, speaking of guys that
got it right here.
Are playing pretty well, we've got at least the Illinois side of the high school kids for the Northwestern Illinois region. And, Travis, why don't you go through some of those that are local to us?
Player of the year was Drew Hall.
Which, state title winner,
state,
Rockridge.
Individual winner, state title this year from Rockridge. He was a senior.
Great kid, too.
What's their home course?
Highland Springs.
Highland Springs, okay.
Kid from Orion, Vaughn Bernhardt. I know this kid. He's a left-hander. He was a senior. I thought he was younger than that. Shot a 76 to place fifth in the sectional. And he finished in the top 20 for the state.
They play golf in Orion?
Yeah, some of them do.
All right, just checking.
Carson Bolins from Mercer County is a freshman.
Freshman.
Nice. Shot an 83 to finish second in the Lincoln Trail Conference meet. Austin Frasky, Sherrard.
Yeah, I think he finished second to Austin there, didn't he?
Yeah. Austin Frasky from Sherrard, he's a senior. Won the Galva regional title, shot a 75 that day.
Yep,
nice.
And then he made it to state with as a team. I'm sure Drew Hall from Rockridge. A couple other ones here. Brennan Welsh.
Yep, Brennan. He was also Sherrard.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a 3-time state qualifier, or at least 2-time.
At least 2-time.
Well, you know, he would have missed out last year.
Yeah, he would have missed out last year. But I think he would have been. Yeah, he probably would have.
Yep, he would have been a 3-time qualifier.
Yep.
Definitely, because Sherrard won the section last year.
Yeah. Right. And then Dan O'Neill was a senior from Rockridge. He's also all area.
So there's a lot of all area. There's some honorable mentions on there, too.
Yeah, there's – let me see. Clayton Mikovich.
Yep.
Caden West, Blake Wynn, Andrew Boland from Sherrard, Cole Custer, Nolan Thomas from Rockridge. And that is it.
Well, Caden was actually – he was in here just when you guys got here.
Oh, was that him?
Yep, that was him.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and then, so Caden – I think Caden's a sophomore.
Yep.
I think he's 15. He's a part of our academy in here, and he was actually just in here getting work in again. And he was working on the driver. And, Chris, you want to share a little on the distance there?
Well, let's see. The first three I hit, I think we're 1282, 283, 284, 285.
Yep.
He's working his way up, and then we got him to said, hey, you only need 15 more yards.
Yeah, he was getting after it.
Yeah, and then he lost his concentration, I think, a little bit, yeah. And then Travis walked in.
I walked in the door.
Cracking bush lights.
I didn't have one. I put it out there. I was kind of scared.
It out there.
High school kid in here. I didn't.
Yeah, know. And he's, you know, a 15-year-old kid. You know, he's not the biggest kid, but he has a really good swing, compact, and he's kind of moving it well. And I think he's got the mindset to work.
Yeah.
So as a 15-year-old, you know, already being honorable mention, I think he's, the next in line at Sherrard. I think it's
right.
He'll be there.
Between him and Wade and Ty that are all from the Sherrard team and they're all part of the academy. And plus on the girls' side, we got Marissa Kunzman in here working in her swing from where I saw it a year and a half ago to now. Way better. Like, she's going to be.
And it seems like it's just yesterday that we were just seeing her kind of just hitting it around on the course with dad as a little kid. Yeah, as a little kid. I saw some of the posts that Mitch put out this year, and my gosh, her game has come around.
And she works at it.
Yeah.
She's working.
Seems enthusiastic about it, which is great.
At that age, my discipline was nowhere near that.
No, not where some of these kids are at. I mean, I couldn't come in here. I mean, love it, but I mean, I wouldn't put in the kind of work.
No, I didn't play golf when I was 15. I didn't pick up a golf club until I was probably in college.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I played throughout my youth, but you know, going to camps and things like that.
Right.
But my school didn't offer anything, and being in this area of the world, there wasn't really much thought about any kind of junior golf programs that, you know.
Well, I mean, let's go back 30 years. They weren't a lot of junior programs, period. And you had to have money to be part of something like that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for everybody. Now they've got it. They got something for everybody.
There's access to everybody. And that's part of the First Tee initiative,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Where I think the development of the golfers is coming at an earlier age.
Yep.
So, like I said, I didn't even have it at my school until we consolidated with Sherrard. And then it's junior year, and you're not telling me what to do.
Yeah.
You're telling how to live my life.
I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah. I'm going to do what I want.
I'm doing something
else.
Yeah,
I mean, I grew up just playing with my dad. That was about it. And, I mean, that was just on our local course. But then I had friends that were playing, and we just go out. We did it more as we just wanted to go out and play.
Yeah, right. It's a game for life. And these kids getting into competitive golf at this stage, no matter where they go with it, they're going to carry the game with them. And, you know, at this stage of our lives, that's all we're working, you know, yeah. This is our enjoyment.
This is where we get our competition.
Game.
I mean,
right.
I
when
mean,
we go
I
play.
Was, I was a competitive tennis player till I was 35. And then the knees said no more. And I picked up the golf clubs once again after I'd put them down playing all that tennis. And this is it. This is
how you get out there.
I can't go play basketball anymore. I mean, otherwise
God,
I end up.
God, I can't either.
I mean, I can't go play basketball anymore like I used to with all of the guys that we worked with. And we'd play 2-3 times a week. Now I play maybe 15 minutes, and I'm going to be at the Cairo.
Oh, there's no way I'm ever going back to the sports that I compete in because that just hurts too bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like it. Just, I mean, it's nope. Golf is a great thing for old guys.
It's a game for life, as they describe it. You can play from 8 to 80.
And we were talking about our scores the other day about where the world is in terms of, you know, how many people shoot in the 80s, how many people shoot
how 90s. Many single-digit handicappers
are there. Yeah, I mean, how many people are out there? We feel pretty good where we're at. I mean, we feel like when we go out and hit golf balls, I mean, we're not embarrassing ourselves.
No, we're not going to be confused for a touring pro, but we're also not going to embarrass ourselves.
Right. Whoa.
They are not coming after me.
And the crossroad is Mercer County strikes again.
Yeah, it's a crime capital.
Yeah. So, wow. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about what the new tour that they're trying to develop, Chris?
Oh, sweet Jesus. It's a thing that's going to be hooked onto the Asian tour, offering, I think, upwards of $400 million.
Is it strictly going to be in Dubai, though, with the Asian tour?
I think it's just hooked with the Asian tour. I think they're traveling wherever they go, but they're offering insane amounts of money. And this, of course, is being fronted by, well, I mean, you know, Dubai is where they started.
Yeah.
And we know where that money's coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, people are having problems because Saudi Arabia is behind some of this, and politically people are saying, you know, we shouldn't be involved in this. You know, Greg Norman's involved with it, and it's just trying to get people, well, let's just say it, they want to get paid, you know, and offering insane amounts of money and motivation to come and play golf.
Well, is it really that much different than what they used to do back in the day for the appearance fees?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Tiger's appearance fees were more than what the purse was in some cases.
Well, what's that Japanese tournament that we talked about a few weeks back?
The Zozo.
Yeah, the Zozo. They were paying him appearance fees of well over what the purse was.
Right. Now they have it. Don't they have some public thing payout each year?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
No, but like social media type stuff.
Oh, well, they've got that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've got that thing going on, and it's still funny to watch some of those guys.
They're like, saying Tiger already won it.
Well, just with the one post. Yeah.
Just one post.
Oh, he did. I wonder if he.
Max Homa had a great take on that, too. Yeah. I mean,
I was going to say, I wonder if Tiger did that on purpose, but as Tiger Woods, of course he did that
on
purpose.
Of course he did it on purpose.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And of course, Phil had to get in on the action. Phil had to get on the action. He goes, "Oh well, you know, it looks like we're going to do battle on the senior tour here coming soon."
Dude, that would be awesome.
Oh yeah, I mean, that little, what is it called, the PIP?
Yeah,
and so, you know, then you have the likes of somebody like Jim Herman, who is hilarious. I mean, he's all fired up about Cincinnati being, you know, in the playoff. He's been talking smack all year, but him and Max Homa and Joel Damon and all those guys. Their Twitter pages are just a scream. And Max Homa goes, I was leading the pack. He goes, and one tweet by Tiger, he goes, just screwed me.
It was a 3-second video.
Yeah. He goes, one tweet, he goes, killed every bit of momentum I had. He goes, there's nothing I could say or do. He goes, it's not going to happen.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Forget it. If Tiger doesn't want you to compete with him, he's not going to.
Right.
Or you're not going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I'm going to take all the money.
So back to the additional tour.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of the hoopla about it is that they'll be taking away from the PGA.
Mm-hmm. Well, the PGA's made it clear that anybody who goes to that tour is not playing on the PGA again.
Okay, so I hate that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't like sour grapes, stuff like that.
Right, mm-hmm.
But they're independent contractors.
Right.
So they're not technically paid by the PGA.
Mm-mm.
No, they're paid by whoever that sponsor title is for the event.
Right.
So, well, I guess technically. Yeah, roundabout, they can,
I would say
they can do it.
There's a lot of stuff that,
well, I mean,
a lot of loopholes that you can try and
but
do.
But you look at all the different groups that are involved in golf, all right? You got the R&A,
mm-hmm.
okay? You've got the USGA, you've got the PGA,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got the European Tour,
mm-hmm.
and now you've got the Asian Tour. But you also
have the Australasian.
You've got mm-hmm. Australasian, you got South American Tours, Mexican Tours. I mean,
you've got the Sunshine Tour, you've got the Futures Tour, you've got Korn Ferry, you've got...
Right.
It's just all over the place.
So,
you're
telling
me there's a chance.
Yeah.
There's a chance.
I'm telling you, back in the day when they had the Hooters Tour, the Canadian Tour,
mm-hmm.
It's just, it was crazy because these guys would go up and make their way through it, but they weren't getting paid squat.
They
you're talking
starving.
About living out of your car.
Yeah, they were starving, some of them.
Some of the girls on the Futures Tour,
mm-hmm.
they had their trunks set up with their bag and their clothes, like all
mm-hmm.
in their trunk. They would sleep in their cars and go from place to place.
Yeah, I mean,
that's dedication, man.
Yeah, I mean, that, truly, if you're chasing a dream when you're doing something like that, and you see some of those guys that actually show up at the Deer Classic, you know, they come in and they're starving. I mean, they're trying to get themselves in there.
When we were at Short Hills, I don't want to say that place, but the two guys that we saw on, it'd be 16 and 17.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They said they just came
from Detroit.
Detroit or
wherever the event was the week before.
Yeah. And I mean, and not all of them are going to run into Justin Thomas. And get floated some money to.
And it worked out for that guy.
It ends up working out for that kid. But I mean, I understand what the PGA is doing. They're trying to protect their brand. You know, mm-hmm. I think the R&A is in the same boat, USGA is in the same boat. They're trying to protect the brand away from these super tours or whatever they want to call them.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what the draw of it for the upper echelon guys is. Obviously going to be money.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when those guys slip a little?
Yeah.
And then they're going to want to go, well, I mean, they're assuming that they're going to cash out enough where they don't have to depend on money.
Right.
And those upper echelon guys really don't have to depend on money anyway.
Right.
So I don't know. It just seems...
I mean, honestly, if you know you're going to cash finishing in the top 40, how hard are you going to try?
Oh, yeah. It.
You know, I don't know.
Athlete-wise, they're still going to try. They know they're going to cash out. But
are you going to have the prestige of, say, the Masters? Are you going to have the prestige of, say, the Open? You know, are you going to have that prestige? Because that's the juice that brought all these people to golf.
Mm-hmm.
It's not – I mean, you can say that it's not about the money. I mean, of course, there's money involved. But they also work for it to try and make that kind of money.
So did the – European Tour, did they put a kibosh on it too?
Major tours have put a little bit of a thing and says, hey, you know, they're not supporting this. But then of course Morikawa came out, you know, a couple weeks ago and said, hey, you know, this is not a big deal. He goes, we're trying to grow the game, and you and I had this conversation.
Yeah, they're not growing the game; they're growing their pockets.
They're growing the pockets. They're not trying to grow the game at all. I mean, we have something here to grow the game. I mean, that's what we have, the First Tee program. We're trying, you know.
Yeah, if you want to grow the game, then you take that $40 million appearance fee that you're going to get to show up, and you grow the game.
Yeah, and you grow the game, or you create your own academies, whatever you want to do to grow the game. I mean, we are always critical of every course that we've ever been around that, you know, we got to get kids playing.
Yep. Right.
And if it means we take take in the shorts on some costs and things like that, so be it. Let those kids get out and play. And I would rather them be on a golf course than something stupid.
Yeah, running the streets.
Yeah.
I know you guys have heard me say this term many, many times, but succession planning isn't just in an employment fashion.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in the golf industry and you want to grow the game, you have to grow it from the youth up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the idea of, you know, charging a junior fee that's the same as a regular fee
mm-hmm.
is asinine.
Right.
You need to, you know, for juniors to be out there, you ought to.
Or to hit the parents up for carts and things like that when they show up. I mean, these parents are hauling their kids all. Oh, it's just, it's no different than Little League.
Is this like travel ball?
It's like travel ball. I mean,
except it, they'd be renting you a bleacher seat then.
Yeah.
You know, like just to watch your kid.
Or charging you full admission.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, there's grow the game. And I understand there's things that, obviously, things cost money. But
you also have the curmudgeonly people that belong to these courses. They're like, they don't want the kids out there, you know, and I find that bullshit too.
There's how many private clubs encourage youth golfers?
Mm-hmm.
Very few.
Very few.
The course I'm at now does it.
Well, good.
Yeah.
That's I know they had the girls out there.
Yeah, they have the
for the qualifiers.
Yep, they
have
that. High school. And then I found out the other day that a couple guys come in and they do a clinic for a week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
See, that's the way it's supposed to be. Grow the game. Like, at least they understand that if you don't have those kids there, your clientele is eventually going to age out.
Well, right. Let's talk about the course that we play the most. Okay? Country mm-hmm. View.
Okay.
What did we notice this year?
Oh, there's kids all over the place.
There's kids everywhere.
But the reason why is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because their home course had gotten priced out for the school to even play there.
Correct. They were wanting how much money? Was it $15,000?
I'd heard $10,000.
Yeah.
For a school to pay that.
Pony up that kind of money to let your kids come play on their course is ridiculous.
The one on the other side of town?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Opposite of me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. That's why they were out at Country View. Now, the Country View folks were fine with that. I mean, we ended up playing in with a couple of kids here and there. Met some parents. I mean, it was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, we played through a couple. We let a couple play through. We played with some.
Yeah, sure, it makes the course more crowded. All right, but that's...
So?
You know what the thing is? Even in the last 2 years, even with the uptick in golf, we're still playing in less than 4 hours.
Yeah.
On any given 18 that we play.
No, but very rarely are we waiting.
And rarely at Country View do we go past an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Rarely.
Right.
I mean, it has to be a really slow day, or that everybody's crammed up on the tee box to start, and then it starts off slow. But eventually, it spreads out, and we finish.
Well, it'll be interesting to see a couple of courses in the region that didn't host high schools this year for whatever reason. One of them, I mean, you can only say it was greed in one fashion. You know, things like that come home to roost. Karma.
Yeah.
Karma comes,
right? And
yeah, I mean, if you
has price, a long memory.
Yeah, I mean, if you price people out, I mean, honestly, I think the Geneseo in the at Sugar Maple, they get ran into some of that. I mean,
yeah.
They've priced themselves out, and it's only the most loyal. Now, they've kept the course in outstanding shape.
No, I thought
shape.
The superintendent there did an outstanding job the times we played
this year.
I mean,
we played there more this year than we did other courses that we normally would play more. We played there more than Highland.
Yeah.
We played more there than some of the other courses. But because it was in great shape, but we also, in the back of our minds, are looking at the prices that they're charging well into fall.
Yeah.
You know, with a cart or even walking, well into fall, they're still charging those same prices.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that comes back to bite you in the rear end.
And the tough end of the industry coming up is going to be, well, we've all seen, not to get any politics, but we've all seen the fuel costs go up.
Yep.
We know inflation is up. And being in the industry, I know that the fertilizer and chemical costs are going to go up.
You were just saying the other day, the chemicals are
going
to kill it.
They're going up 2 to 3 times.
Yeah. Yep.
So if your budget was $50,000 for your fert and chemical line, now you're claiming it's $150,000. Well, actually, you didn't go up $100,000.
Mm-hmm. No, you're paying for what you had last year.
You're the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, with fuel costs going up and minimum wage going up, I understand the cost. Believe me, I understand the cost of operation of a golf course.
Right.
But there's that fine line between where are you going to raise your cost to before you lose customers and then you lose money.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that with junior golf, I think you've set yourself up for failure because now you haven't even gained any, I don't even say allegiance, but loyalty from the folks that you've treated well as juniors to come back. And now that they have money to pay you because, well, guess what? You priced them out from the beginning.
Right.
So now you can't complain when you don't have that youth movement later on down the line.
But I think you're seeing this in other sports too. I mean, you're starting to see people trying to go back to the old days of where we're going to X certain people out, and keep them out of the sport and make it so that they can't get there. And that's sad. There was a guy in Chicago. So this year, the Illinois State Swimming Meet for girls, they used to do it between two schools, all right, two of the richest schools in the area, one in Evanston, okay, and then the other one was Winnetka, New Trier, all right. Both pools, you had to cram, you're probably talking 1,000 fans per session, and you're trying to cram them in there. You had to get a number, you had to wait in line, so one guy, a club coach, finally found some backing and built a 50-meter pool. That was state-of-the-art, and they abandoned those two schools to go to this guy's pool that's in the middle of Chicago. And I saw some pictures of it, and I'm like, wow. And so, but he's also using it as, I mean, he knows he can make money off of a swim meet, you know, because he's got basically, he could, in the winter season, he can run two simultaneous meets at the same time. That's how many, that's how big this damn pool is.
So what happened to the old pools?
The old pools, they're just back to being old high school pools. They'll never go back to them again.
Wow.
And so, and those people lost out on it because they were Xing people out, but yeah, their club teams were also Xing people out, saying, well, we don't want certain kids coming here. We just want our kids here. This guy's taking on all comers, and he's going to end up building a super team, which they had one working out of Bloomington, was I think it was. They were building super teams, and this guy's going to build the super team. I mean, but he's also taking all comers. He's got it in priced at various levels to get even the inner city kids to come and swim.
Which was part of the First Tee initiative,
right,
for golf. It's like, I mean, trying to get the inner city or the those that might not be exposed to golf.
Right. Well, and you know, it's so funny. I work in a building where it's, I mean, it's 95% free and reduced. And mm-hmm. I mean, we're mostly poverty-stricken kids. But my kids have become fascinated with my fascination with golf.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask me about it all the time. And they said, oh, you should take me out sometime. And I would love to. I would love to.
Yeah, and we've actually talked about trying to get that school district's golf team going again.
Yep.
You know, just even on a volunteer basis. Yep. And, you know, so far we're still working on it.
I would love to see some of these kids from some of these different, because, I mean, we speak 18 languages in my building.
Wow.
18
That's crazy.
Languages, and there are variations on all of on each other. So you have variations in Asian languages. You have variations in African languages. Then you have the traditional French, Spanish, you know, all of these.
Still crazy.
It is. Like, it's nuts.
Like, how does that end up in East Moline?
You know, but I mean,
it blows my mind. Right.
It's, I mean, and so you're starting to see kids that are coming from these different countries. The starting quarterback for UT was an African kid.
Yep.
You know, his whole family is from Africa. I mean, that is the beauty of sports, is getting those kids that would not be exposed to those in other places, being exposed in their own school district and getting involved in those things. I think golf would be a great segue in it. Tennis is still a thing that I still look back on it, you know, because they're trying to get a program started at my school. And I told them I would come out and volunteer and feed balls to kids. I mean, just keep, you know, just so they get out and get the exposure to it.
And get an idea of what it's actually about, which is kind of what we try to do here. It's like this, I think this is a great atmosphere for these kids to come in and, you know, practice and be exposed to coaching to improve their golf game.
Right.
Like,
and being able to address the game in a winter month. I mean, think about it.
Yeah,
I mean, we're still laughing about it because we're like waiting for the first damn snowstorm just so we can post pictures about it saying, look, man, it is just a blizzard outside, but look where we're at.
Yep, we're playing pebble today.
As I was coming up as a tennis player, as a junior player, I didn't have access to an indoor facility because my parents didn't have that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're talking, you know, $15, $20 an hour per court. And so, but here we're offering something for them that I think is still at a very good rate.
Oh, it's crazy.
You know, and I, just to get kids to come indoors and practice a sport that they can't practice during the wintertime.
For them to come in and just do like rain sessions and work on some of the launch monitors and stuff, it's no more than what you'd pay for a large bucket.
You're right.
Literally $10 an hour.
Right.
Like, and that's pretty close to the going rate for a large bucket of balls.
Look at all the different
And you don't get the ball data that way either.
Yeah, look at all the batting cages that have crept up.
Yep.
You know, in different little buildings. And look what we've done here. This building has been nothing to me. I just drive by it if I'm going to Aledo or I'm in town, you know, to play golf at Bill's house or whatever. But all of a sudden, this building has meaning.
It does.
It does. It has meaning. And when I see it, and now the signage that's out front, and you guys need to be driving down 17 and 67 so you can see this.
Yeah, but not honking.
Yeah, don't honk.
Yeah, don't honk.
don't cut across traffic like a guy did Friday night.
Friday night, me and Chris were in here playing golf, and we just put the signs up, and the windows were open so you could see in.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Chris were playing golf, and literally there was cars.
There's four cars in the parking lot.
Across the parking
street,
lot.
And a guy literally pulled across.
Across 60, traffic.
Across 67.
Against traffic right
against
here.
Against traffic and sat in front, and I know he was looking in and seeing what we were doing.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
It is cool. I mean, it was actually a good feeling for us.
It was.
I mean, because it's like, this is also a way to grow the game.
Yep.
I mean, you know, we laugh at about people who try to play golf and they're not the greatest of golfers, but we're not trying to be mean about it. It's just,
because we see us in them.
Yeah, yeah. Because we do it to each other. I mean, poor Travis has, of course, taken a whole week's worth of abuse from us.
Because a couple Hazel rockets last week.
A couple?
Like I said, you may need to put some adhesive on those things.
I'm so glad I spent $1,500 on golf clubs.
You know, but I think about it, and I'm just like, wow, it's actually pretty cool that people have access to something like that here in Mercer County, which,
yep.
I mean, again, a building that really didn't...
It was unoccupied, clearly.
It was an archery shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, before that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And so...
Before this.
Yeah, I mean, to say that it's here, and people have asked us questions everywhere we go. I mean, people are, you know, they see what we post,
mm-hmm.
and they see things, and they're like, where is that?
And it's not just about the competitive golfer coming in. It's for anybody. It's just to come on in and practice.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the indoor practice facility that I wanted, you know, growing up
mm-hmm.
to play golf. Well, and is it going to be confused with something that, you know, PGA Superstore would have? No.
No. It's not going to be like some of the bigger ones, like they have those big $10,000-$15,000
systems. Oh, yeah, $30,000 system.
Mm-mm.
But then again, I'm not charging that cost either. Like, I know a lot of them are charging, you know, $30 to $40 an hour to play a round of golf. It's $25 flat fee for 18 holes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's not an hourly rate. It's nothing like that.
Come in, you know, BYOB, whatever.
And yeah, exactly. Rushed. BYOB.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have that person standing over you, or you're not at a bar.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you're not at a bar with drunks walking around, or you being partially inebriated, which mm-hmm. we really covered on the last episode. You need to check it out.
You need to check that out.
we may have shared too much on that last one.
Well, I mean, we can speak for you and I, but we can't speak for poor Travis over here in his bush lights. I mean, come on.
His bush latte.
Nectar of the gods.
So I just think, you know, to come in and be able to work, you know, chipping area, we have two different hitting bays.
We got a putting area now.
Putting, which none of us have worked on our putting at all.
I did on Sunday.
Did you? Oh, nice.
I did a little Sunday. Bit.
Okay, so I'm the only one that hasn't worked on my putting. Yeah. Great.
I hit one out of like six.
Yeah, but you're the best putter out of the three of us.
Well, you're going to argue with that?
No.
I was like, somebody just gave me a horse eye over there.
No, I'm terrible.
Bruce Willis'd me there for a second.
Bill is easily the best putter out of the three of us.
I mean,
and we know who's in the bringing up the rear, and that's me, because my putting is horrifying.
I didn't like that verbiage, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well. Take it out. Take it as you want.
Yeah, 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
This is 20 bucks.
So anyway, like I said, the studio's up and going. It's one of those things that I would like to see some people come in.
Get your asses out
and just
kind
of get their Sunday normal foursome in,
mm-hmm.
just to hang out with the guys and play some golf.
Well, and
don't forget how your cuts are
going. You're also thinking about doing a little contest.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing Payne Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Their 19th hole. Actually shot a video on it the other day. We actually did a settle the bet there.
Yeah.
Not that long ago, didn't we, Travis?
Trav and I used to lost $5.
Yeah, well, it's all you got to do is hit that green.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't even remotely close.
No, you were not.
I was worse than you were.
So,
I think I was 90 feet away.
So it's an island green. It's was it 132 yards?
Yeah.
So like pretty that. Much, you know, I want to have some people. I'm thinking about actually doing an open house this Saturday, 10
mm-hmm.
to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Having people come in just to kind of see what it's about, and if they want to take a cut at, you know, trying to win a free round, they can. All they got to do is beat my
was it 14 distance. Feet?
14 feet.
Okay.
I'm really curious how many cars drive by this every day.
It's the busiest intersection in Mercer County, which I know that doesn't mean a lot to some people,
mm-hmm.
but Mercer County, 67 and 17, it's the busiest.
But this
intersection.
Is the only simulator in Mercer County that I know of.
Yeah, I can't think of. There
I can't
be
think of anybody
one.
Else. No.
Boom.
No. So yeah, you. You got us there.
Anyway. Well, and you think about it, you know, we were sitting in a garage this time last year.
Yes. We were sitting in a garage.
Yeah.
Somebody almost burned his house down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember we had the podcast going in there, too. And
we had the podcast.
It was very intimate because we were sitting so close together.
Well, and then, you know, you turn the heat off at the start of the podcast. And by the time we get to the end of the podcast.
You can see your breath.
We had our coats and shit on.
Yeah. Oh, the things we do for entertainment.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I think that's it from my end.
Wait. 5 minutes is all we need to talk about Bryson and...
Oh, yes. We have not talked about the match,
That was the thing that we were going to finish
Man,
with.
Man, we have not talked about the match.
And all we need is really 5 minutes because the match was...
5 minutes long.
5 minutes long.
It was an
It was over after kicking. 5 minutes. It was an ass-whooping beyond belief.
And it could not have gone...
I just remembered Koepka quote, well, this is my major, isn't it, right?
Yeah, just kicked him in the.
Oh, it, I just there was a what was it that the par there's a par three that they had a closest to the
mm-hmm.
pin on,
mm-hmm.
and he asks Koepka, DeChambeau asked Koepka, would you or they asked him Bryson DeChambeau what he hit, and he said an 8-iron or whatever,
yeah.
and he looks over at Brooks and he's like, don't ask me,
mm-hmm.
yeah, what'd you hit? He's mm-hmm. like, fucking tool
it doesn't
bag.
Matter. I'm, he just ass, yeah. man.
I think the problem with that whole thing is that neither one of them is a personable person.
No.
Neither one of them.
No.
No, I just...
They've got the personality of a rock.
DeChambeau has made himself the villain in my mind.
Yeah.
Now, Brooks Koepka, is he a likable dude? No.
No.
I like him.
But do I like him? Yeah, because we're more meat-heady.
Yeah. Right.
Like, so we like him.
Yeah, he's a guy that goes and works out.
I mean, he works out, drinks beer.
Drinks beer and hangs out with his hot wife.
He has a hot wife feeding grapes. I'm all about it, man. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to do that when I go home. Veronica, feed me some grapes.
Yeah.
See how that works.
I get a shepherd's pie.
Oh, nice. Really? Nice.
And Busch Light.
That's a very...
Yeah, it's, so the match between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau was played at the Wynn Casino, I believe?
Yeah, Wynn Casino. Yep. We played the course the day
before. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you and I played the course the day before, and 18 is a motherfucker.
Yeah, and they... so they went through and just... It wasn't even close. Like, Brooks just... annihilated them.
Yeah, I mean, what was the finish? Was it 4-3?
Yeah,
four and three or 5-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say 4-3.
He was up 4-0 right away. Yeah. And it just never,
it was almost like watching one of the Europeans lose in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, to DeChambeau.
Yeah, to DeChambeau. I mean, Jesus.
No, yeah, it was, I couldn't have, the real stars of the show, though. Who was it?
Oh, Phil.
Phil and Chuck.
Phil and Chuck.
Yeah, right? They were a scream.
I would rather watch those two go on just a two ball. Right.
Well, they said
for nine
that
holes.
Is kind of like that's kind of like the that was the Phil kind of auditioning.
Oh, to be a broadcaster
type. A broadcaster and
like there was any doubt that he's been auditioning for that for 3 years.
But they're all worried about that he talks too much shit, and I'm like, that's
there's no such thing.
There's no such thing.
There isn't.
Travis has how many rounds have we played together, Travis?
In 8 years, seven years.
Yeah.
Oh shit, I don't know.
Tons, right?
Yeah.
One round. Name me one round that I didn't talk shit to you.
I lose and I still talk shit.
Yes.
I mean, before we even get started, he's already texted us, I'm beating all your asses today. Yeah. and then he comes and starts hitting nozzle rockets.
I'm a confident dude.
No, yeah. There's times that he'll play really well.
Oh, I mean, all you got to do is come play golf with any of us one day. And I mean, the shit talking that goes on. And I mean, some of it's very slight. You know, like somebody misses a putt. Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's.
Oh,
yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. Good drive.
Or, yeah, good drive. That's the one that really burns my rear end.
Well, you come on in here Saturday from 10 to 2, and you'll get a chance to play golf with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll hit a couple of shots together. We'll check it out. So
golf shots.
Yeah, golf shots.
Golf shots.
After last week's conversation with the Mascali, I better specify. We're going to be hitting golf shots in here.
Yeah, we're not keeping any booze in the refrigerator. It's all water.
that's not totally true.
Well, no, Travis has got his spot in there for his Busch Lights. And
we got a couple in there.
Yeah, there's a few Bud Lights left in there, too. But anything else?
I think that's it, man.
All right. And that's a wrap for me.
See ya.
All right, see ya.